Today is September 13th, 2017, and this is episode number 428 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'll be your ride from the airport later this week. To get the full story on anything we cover in this episode, this here podcast, you can write us, acm at macobserver.com, or you can go to macobserver.com/acm, or you could even maybe hit us up on Twitter at Context Machine.
Hold on.
Got all that?
Boom. Okay, I booked a flight, so you can come pick me up at the airport.
Sweet. Excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be the best.
All right, so listen, busy times. Apple just did this whole media event thing yesterday. Did you catch that?
Mm-mm. Apple who?
Like, did you catch that media event that they did yesterday? good times. Right. And so what I thought we could do is that we could just jump into a show without like prepping any kind of like show notes ahead of time.
I'd like to point out to our listeners that we do so little prep that the reality is all we've done is cut like 30 minutes of just casual chit chat off the beginning of the show for, you know, before we record
in this particular episode. You mean?
Yes.
Right. 'Cause that's what our prep is usually. Dude, what do you want to talk about today? I don't know. What do you want to talk about today?
And then we go off on some other topic unrelated and then eventually start recording.
Yeah, like 20 minutes later, it'll be like, yeah, so we still need a topic. Yeah. And then, you know, it'll usually about an hour of this will get us two or three things that we haven't already explored in depth on the daily observations.
Right. And our ACM listeners are either nodding like, yep, I knew that's how it worked. Or they're sitting there thinking, holy crap, how did they get a show out ever?
Well, today we are going to talk about Apple's big keynote thing. Mm-hmm. They announced a bunch of new products. So you know what I want to start with? I want to start with the theater.
Okay.
Did you read the piece I did today on the theater?
Yeah.
Did you really?
No.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
All right. So I actually did, but.
Oh, okay.
But
oh, man. That's less funny to me.
It doesn't matter because you had that moment of laughing bliss. And that's 2 days in a row. That's pretty awesome.
That's right. Yeah, you maybe laughed during our live hangout.
Yeah, and it was so fantastic because you were trying so hard to be quiet, and yet you had that uncontrollable laughing happening, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah, you need that every once in a while. So here's the thing. So I'm watching this media event that I was doing, and you know, it looks gorgeous. It looks great. Theater looks amazing. You know, we've already seen pictures of the top of the theater, but we hadn't seen anything from inside the theater yet. Mm-hmm. And I caught this, like, I think what it was like, there was this moment where a camera was panning across the, like panning from stage left to stage right. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, they built this thing and they've got places for these cameras. They're not having to work in cameras where they can. They actually built this around partially camera placements.
Sure. Of course they did. And it showed. And it wasn't like someone saying, you know, it would be cool, a camera over here. they clearly worked with people that know how to set up a space for video.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how much money they spent just on this theater. And not just from the, like, I mean, we heard stories about $14,000 leather seats and I don't know if that's actually the case. I don't know. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about them spending money. I'm talking about the facilities side of this, right? The amount of planning and engineering that went into exactly where the display behind people would be, the fact that that display is going to be movable. Mm-hmm. The fact that the stage is going to be extremely customizable for events. Again, the fact that there's camera placement facilities within this thing. The fact that they can, you know, they'll be able to. I wouldn't be surprised if they can actually make the theater smaller.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. For I'll call them more intimate events.
Yeah, yeah. Like when they don't want to, you know, have people feel like they're sitting in an empty theater. Well, you know, they've got like 20 people that are watching. And this may be extreme, okay? But let's say they've got 20 people watching some kind of a pilot for a new show that's going to be on Apple Music.
Okay.
And, you know, this is the sort of thing that happens in Hollywood all the time. And now that Apple and all the other tech companies are busily creating Valleywood, I just wanted to go ahead and mention that one again, by the way. The screenings like that are going to need to take place up here in Silicon Valley. And I would imagine that they're going to use this facility for that. And I would imagine that they could, if they wanted, I have no idea if this is actually the case, but I would imagine they could close off some of that theater to make, as you said, a more intimate setting for smaller numbers of people to watch something on a big screen.
I love this idea. There's one problem that I see with that as a technical issue. And then say, if they're going to do these special screenings, and yes, you're right. This is something that happens in the industry all the time. Most of those, like if it's a really big thing that they want to keep secret, the theater is actually a Faraday cage also. And this place isn't, because people were able to get signals out. So they
may be able to make it into a Faraday cage.
They might be able to make it into a Faraday cage. Yep.
Right. That I'd actually be flabbergasted if they couldn't flip a switch, the Faraday cage switch. I'd be flabbergasted if they couldn't do that.
That would be pretty cool.
Like, I bet you, for instance, if they do shareholder events in there, I bet you they turn it into a Faraday cage.
That would be pretty impressive.
And they will do. They will 100%. They'll do shareholder meetings at this theater with the overflow somewhere else.
So I'm still kind of hooked on doing their private screenings.
Yeah. Screenings, concerts. Yeah. Not private parties, but, you know, like exclusive parties for, you know, both the entertainment world and just, you know, to reward employees. Obviously, they can't get every Apple employee in there, so it's not like the beer bashes or something could be held in Steve Jobs Theater. That's not even a thing. But there are all kinds of events that could take place at this theater, and this theater has been custom built for all of them, and it just was really flooring me. And then, you know, and this was all kicking around my head as I was watching this pano, this one shot. And then Apple today published this piece, this blog post called Highlights from Apple's Keynote Events. And it had like, I don't know, 6, 10, I didn't bother counting, photographs from the event.
I find that incredibly funny, because you wrote this whole piece about how you feel about the theater. Part of the catalyst for this was the fact that Apple posted all these photos. And so that's kind of an important thing. And you're like, there's some photos.
Yeah, there's photos. I didn't count them. But because it's one particular photo that was what got me to actually write about this. And it's Angela Arendt standing in front of Paris Apple Store. Mm-hmm. And this was an event. This was a photograph from the event. And, you know, while she was standing up there, she had, you know, photographs going behind her of different things going on in retail, which is her domain within Apple. Mm-hmm. And you look at this photograph and it's stunning. Can you pull it up now?
Yeah, I've got it in front of me right now.
Okay. Look at the way you don't even see the bottom of the display. I didn't even point this out in the article. You don't see the bottom of the screen that this image is being projected onto. And I assume it's projection.
I would assume it's projection as well. And I can see where the bottom of the screen is, but that's because I know where to look. But if I wasn't, my mind would have filled in the rest of the space and told me she's on the street.
Well, no, I'm definitely not thinking that, because really what it looks like a green screen. It looks like this image of this Apple store is only behind her in post and that is green screen. But, you know, you don't get any green screen artifacts and you don't get that green screen. You know, like I can usually, it, you know, it looks like someone standing in front of a green screen a lot of times. And of course, this wasn't a green screen. This was an image being projected behind her. And it's this really high definition projection. That is a high definition photograph. I've never seen anything like it, not even in another Apple event. As a matter of fact, we've never seen the production value of the video of the Apple media event like the production value of the media event that took place yesterday, because this is the first one at the Steve Jobs Theater. And it's like Apple has just rewritten the rules yet again, quietly, without even, like, you know, bragging about it, for how to put on a media event.
Yeah. And now I'm wondering, what is Samsung going to do next?
Oh, yeah, whatever. Who cares about them?
Well, see, I do in this sense, because there are people, colleagues of ours, that were subjected to the Broadway thing that Samsung did.
Ugh. Listen, I want to get back to this one photograph of Angela.
Okay.
Right. Okay, I know you know where the bottom of the screen is, but you see how there's shadow basically that obfuscates the demarcation between the screen and the stage that she's standing on.
Yeah, it's a really nice soft transition.
And that was done. I mean, that's not happenstance, right? I mean, who knows how much money was spent on making that effect possible? And you never, you know, when Apple's at the Moscone or any other theater, you don't get that kind of, you don't get that kind of quality. And so here's another point that I made in the piece. In fiction, there's a mantra: show, don't tell. Mm-hmm. This means don't tell your reader that the character is angry. Show the reader that the character is angry. So you don't just say Johnny was mad. You would say that Johnny smashed his fist into the wall, or, you know, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. To show the reader that the character is angry. Apple is, Tim Cook had one little line about the theater. He said, it's the most state-of-the-art, purpose-built theater ever, built for events just like this one. It's the only thing he said about the theater. And that is such a remarkable understatement. And Apple spent this event showing us how state-of-the-art and purpose-built it is.
Yeah, that's true. This event wasn't just about saying, here's new iPhones, here's a new Apple Watch. It was about saying, here's this theater. Hold on. Yes.
Yeah, and there were people who were complaining about how long Apple spent on the whole Apple Park introduction and the introduction to the Steve Jobs Theater. To me, those are tone deaf complaints, because these people have been working towards the launch of this theater and the launch of Apple Park. They've been working to it for years, and it is their monument to Steve Jobs. It is their like fulfillment of like their thanks to Steve Jobs. And, mm-hmm. and that's why they spent all that time on it. And it is just as much a product from Apple as you know, the newest iPhone. So I didn't begrudge them the amount of time they spent on it at all.
Yeah, it's understanding why they did it. I'm fine with it. As far as announcements go, I would have been okay if they hadn't. But I'm not complaining because it was one of those things that I feel like they needed to do for them. And it was a Steve Jobs tribute, and it was a really nice thing. I mean, you can take that whole first part of the keynote and pull it off, and it's just a standalone unit that's really nice.
Yeah, I was getting a note from Jeff Butson being a terrible girlfriend to you. Can you run that by me again?
Yeah, I was saying that I'm really disappointed that that you didn't make it to the grocery store last night, and why aren't the dishes done? No, wait. I was saying that that whole first part of the keynote where they did the tribute and talked about the space, you can take that off. And it makes a really nice standalone presentation all by itself.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. So if you haven't watched this event, it's worth watching just to take a gander at what Apple's done with this theater. And, you know, I'd be curious if anybody else notices any of the various special things that we've never been able to see before. And if you notice, like, you just the sheer number of angles that we had, by the way. The sheer number of shots that we had, the fact that everything was positioned just so for maximum effect.
Yeah, it was a really well planned out and produced event.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the amount of time, money, and expertise that has gone into making that possible. From a craftsman standpoint, from a design standpoint, from an execution and logistics standpoint, it's just all, to me, remarkable.
Yep, and what a great showcase of Burberry clothes.
Was anyone besides Angela wearing anything?
I don't know because you've seen me. Do I look like Mr. Fashion to you?
Plus she was the only woman on stage.
But we know the jacket she was wearing was Burberry, and so I'm pretending that the casual dress shirts everyone else was wearing were Burberry too.
Probably. That would make sense. And that's where she's from, to those who didn't know. Okay, so there is one rant. Not a rant, this is actually more of a rave. It was more of a rave.
Yeah.
Rave. So how about we rant about iTunes?
Is there anything to rant about? I mean, it's been like this pinnacle of beauty and perfection for years on it. No, wait. I mixed those up. Holy crap. What were they thinking? There's a lot of people that are going to be really annoyed with iTunes 12.7 once they try and do something that they've been doing for a long time. And I've left that kind of general because there's many some things that aren't there now.
Yes, there are many some things. The one in particular that is baffling to me is the removal of the App Store from iTunes iTunes on the Mac and PC.
Yeah, that I'm not getting why they thought that was a good idea. And if the reasoning is, well, you know, this is a media tool, not an app tool. Okay, there's a lot of other stuff you could have pulled out first.
Well, okay.
Or at least pulled it out and put it into a new app.
Let's address that first. iTunes bloat. This has been a complaint for Apple customers, for Mac users in particular, and Windows users hate iTunes.
Understandably so.
It's a pretty terrible experience on Windows, and a big part of that is bloat. You know, Apple just kept bolting more and more things onto it, and that would include at first it was just a media management software for iPods, and then they added the iTunes Store for downloading purchasing and downloading songs from the interwebs. Mm-hmm. And then they added movies, and then they added the App Store, and then they added iBooks,
Mm-hmm.
And
don't forget ringtones.
And yeah, ringtones, right?
Oh, and file syncing.
And file, yeah, but the file syncing, that was the very first thing.
No, I mean, that's iOS devices, file syncing. Oh,
right. It was because it was an iOS management tool.
No,
it went from being a media management to a media manager to the software that you managed your iPhone with.
Yeah. And it was awkward and clunky because it was all bolted on.
Right. And so, you know, hooray, Apple has saw some of that bloat by taking out one of the biggest things that was bolted on, the App Store. And that's fine and dandy, except for the fact that I like browsing and purchasing apps for my iOS devices on my Mac. I've got a keyboard. I've got a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crap ton easier to search on a Mac, in my opinion. And it's also a crap ton. Well, you know, and this is very special to me as a journalist. I like being able to quickly take a copy of the URL for an app, drop it over into a browser so that I can actually cut and paste from a description if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, release notes, things like that.
Or just have that URL so you can send people to the app.
Yep. Or be able to view larger versions of the screenshots that are included.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, these are all things that are specific to me as a journalist. But even as a user, just as an iPhone and an iPad user, I prefer to look for apps, to browse my apps on my Mac. Doesn't have to be in iTunes, but I want to do it on my Mac.
So something tells me that, and this is just speculation, but something tells me that we are in the minority and that most people do not use iTunes on their Mac to search for apps. They do it just on their iPhone or iPad.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I was actually getting into an argument with someone close to me, and she was saying that you know, this is a non-issue for her because she does everything from her iOS devices. And that's probably the case for a lot of users. And it may be even the case for most users. Apple, obviously,
I'm betting that's true. I bet it's the case for most users.
Apple has that data, and they probably made this decision based on that data. But here's my problem. There are so many users. If Apple is willing to piss off 1% of us, that's still a lot of people.
Well, Apple hasn't been afraid to piss off 1% of its users.
Yeah, you know, I get that. I get that. And I am someone who has argued, who said that the removal of the headphone jack is okay. Right. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've been okay with, and that I actually see as a form of progress, even though it annoys some people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've pointed out that people were tense about the removal of the floppy drive. I mean, you know,
kind of got over that. Oh, right? Man, how about when we lost ADB and then ADB, SCSI?
Or FireWire or SCSI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, a lot of different things that Apple has booted, like going from the 30-pin dock to the lightning. But listen, the lightning adapter is better than the 30-pin dock. It's just better. It's a lot better. It's a whole lot better. It's a ton better. So, you know, like, I don't miss the 30-pin dock whatsoever, and I didn't when it was first changed.
Yeah, for me, it was awkward for a couple years while I was dealing with the blend of devices, because I had some dock connector and some lightning connector. But once I was done with the transition, I was glad to be done with the transition, not because I had two connectors I had to deal with, but because I was so over the dock connector.
Yeah. And I certainly get the pain for people that had invested in third-party accessories, especially like speaker docks.
Yeah.
That were 30 pin dock. I get that pain. Don't get me wrong. I have great empathy for that individual pain, but in general, I saw the move to Lightning as being better, and that it is possible that I'm being tone deaf to my own reasoning with this removal of the App Store from the Mac and PC. It's possible I'm being tone deaf to that, but I don't think that's the case. To me, this is like Apple. This is another example of Apple doing less and less with more and more.
You know, removing the App Store on the Mac for me was annoying, but clearly not as much of a trigger event for me as it is for you. The thing that really miffed me was the changes that they made to local backups. So when you do iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch backup to your computer now, it backs up your data, but it doesn't back up your third-party apps. Third-party app data, yes. Actual third-party app, no. So
that's just annoying as crap.
Yeah. There's a couple problems with this for me. First is you don't have a local copy of an app anymore. So if it's gone from the App Store, it's just gone. And the second is every time you need to do a restore from backup, all of your apps need to re-download from the App Store. So if you're in
the ones you can get.
The ones you can get, yeah. So instead of being able to say, all right, well, I've had to wipe and restore my device three times today because of all these other things that I'm doing and stuff I'm testing, and I just want to take this image of what my iPhone was and put it back on, and you're done. That's not an option anymore.
Yeah, and that's a step backwards. It's a step backwards that is unnecessary. Listen, for one thing, I think it would have made sense a long time ago for Apple to make a separate management device. Management software.
Oh, okay. Now I'm with you again.
So you've got iTunes for playing your music, and you've got iTunes for iTunes or even a separate store for buying stuff. And you got a separate piece of software like iMazing that is purpose built for managing your iOS devices. Apple should have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, Apple should have made the iMazing app themselves, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah, or bought it.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of glad they haven't bought it because the iMazing people get to keep doing what they do really well. Still.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. So I don't know. This annoys me. It's a step backwards. It's a step backwards that doesn't really offer any tangible benefits. I mean, like whose life is improved? Well, I don't know. Could you say that anyone who is pissy about the bloat, that their life is improved? No, I don't think so.
It depends on how they use iTunes. And my guess is that. Most of the complaining about iTunes is going to be in our echo chamber. I mean, as far as the changes in iTunes 12.7. And that for the majority of the average users, they won't even realize that these features are gone.
Hey, Rick Allen, by the way, just made a very good point.
Oh, do tell.
And a comment. The comment on the article just came in just moments ago. He said, this is a great hurt for app developers and discovery. I get lots of links and recommendations from people for apps. I used to do a lot of browsing and buying on the Mac and then just let it download to my devices. True. Same here. And then he said, also, how do you promote and share knowledge about an app when it is so much harder to share a link from a Mac? To wit, I also do a lot of iMessage stuff. Mm-hmm. Including sharing apps, and in general, I much prefer to do that with the keyboard than with an iOS device. Now, that's just a personal preference, but you know, it's certainly the way I preferred to do things.
So, all right, I'm
so in other words, it makes sharing harder if you can't get to these apps from a Mac.
Yes, I agree. I'm talking slowly because I'm trying to be a good girlfriend here. And what I'm doing is sending you an email that is a link to an app that I have on my iPhone. It's Ulysses.
Okay.
It could be any app, but
yeah, let's just see how it opens in. It'll probably open in a browser.
So what I would like you to do, Brian, is open that email on your Mac.
Okay, I did. And I clicked on the link and it took me to a browser. So, I mean, you can still, if you have the link, you can still view this stuff from a browser.
Okay. So opens in a browser, but can you actually do anything with that link?
Nope. Can't buy it. Can't view it. Can't do anything. Just, there's a line. This app is only available in the App Store for iOS devices. Yeah, this is BS. This is a stupid step backwards. This is a stupid freaking step backwards that doesn't enhance anything. Doesn't give anything. This is ridiculous. You're telling me that you've taken away for me to be able to browse and buy, and you've taken that away. How is that good for anyone? How in God's green earth does that benefit anyone? This is ridiculous. This is a stupid step. Why would you take that away?
All right, so now that you're catching your breath, open up that same email on your iPhone, please.
Yep. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And what I'm hoping is that it does what it ought to do, which is let you view this app in the App Store. If not, holy crap, major fail.
Oh, I'm sure it will. It should go straight to the App Store, actually.
Yeah, but see, this is
it goes, journalism. No. It brings up a sheet. Oh, how interesting. It brings up a sheet that's got App Store information with a done link. By the way, you could do this yourself by looking at your sent mail.
Yeah, but
it's got a done link in the upper right and a view in store link. And when I view in store, it then takes me to the exact same page without the view in store link. That kind of seems awkward. And by the way, I'm running an iOS 11 public beta.
Okay. So, all right. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I call this a fail. I call this a pointless step backwards. And the solution for this would have been to give us a separate, standalone iOS App Store on the Mac and PC, or to add iOS apps to the Mac App Store, which could not, that actually might be a bad idea, I don't know, and still have the standalone App Store for PC.
Yeah, why not just have the App Store?
And then have like a Mac tab and an iOS tab.
Yeah.
Mac OS tab and iOS tab at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about an Apple TV tab to go with it?
That would make a lot of sense. But of course, you know what? And so, all right. So we're in the App Store on Mac. And I've clicked on the iOS tab at the top. And I have gone to an app. It would normally have downloaded. So fine, I still can't download it on my Mac. They've even taken that away, but fine. That's still the case. But when I click buy and I enter my password and I buy that app, it sends a message to iPhone just like it did before saying, hey, download this app.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's...
yeah. So I think what we've established here is... you're not happy with the changes that Apple has made in iTunes 12.7.
I'm not happy
with this. I am disappointed as well.
Yep. I'm not particularly, yes.
You know, I totally get wanting to work on streamlining iTunes, but I think that instead of simply removing features, Apple should have spun features out.
Yeah. Stop taking features away. I'm actually, this is part of a broader trend. This is part of a broad, you know, I say this and the first thing I think of is like, oh yeah, what about the headphone jack?
You know, I know humans are complicated
and I'm okay with that, but I'm not okay with this. And I'm okay with that contradiction. I think that, cause I don't think it's a contradiction. I think that they are separate use cases.
Sure.
And there are very specific. There are specific benefits to removing the headphone jack. Namely, you can make the device water resistant. You can effectively make it waterproof, but Apple calls it water resistant because they don't want to be sued for those rare instances where water actually does mess up a device.
Yeah, and that's just smart.
Yeah, and also there's a lot less space involved by removing the headphone. It's like tons of space that Apple gets to play with. It's also, it was a point of physical failure. So there are very specific benefits for removing that headphone jack. And I acknowledge that it annoys anyone who has headphones with a headphone jack. I acknowledge that absolutely and positively. But there are very specific advantages to Apple and to users for removing that thing.
Yeah. And
so it's different. It's a different case.
Yeah. And I'm betting that even though we know a lot of people that are upset about the headphone jack going away, that the majority of iPhone users, it hasn't been that big of a deal for them. And I might be wrong. But
no, you know what? It is exactly what we predicted at the time, that people would quickly forget about it. And that's largely the case. It's not entirely the case, but it's largely the case.
Yeah. In my experience, when average users are buying an iPhone, a new iPhone, and they're going from a model that had a headphone jack to one that doesn't, they have about 2 weeks of being really pissed off at Apple, and then I never hear about it again. So
it tracks pretty closely to the frustration over floppy disks. As a matter of fact, I think that the floppy disk transition took longer because so much of the rest of the world was exchanging data with floppy disks. Right. Whereas there's people don't tend to exchange headphones. You make the transition and you deal with it.
Right. And a lot of people had already gone to wireless headphones before we lost the headphone jack. So it's not like it was a new transition. It was something that was already underway.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. So let's talk about something good.
Okay. What excited you the most from yesterday's keynote event?
Two things. Oh, John, I know it's not your question.
That's all right. I'll roll with it.
iPhone 10 on the whole.
Uh-huh.
And the inclusion of the altimeter in the Apple Watch.
Yeah, the altimeter, it's kind of funny. Because, well, at least for me, because the altimeter thing is something that I've complained about either directly or indirectly ever since the original Apple Watch shipped.
Sure.
Because Apple has said that there are certain limitations with what they can do with the watch because it doesn't have an altimeter. And I called shenanigans on that and then felt like if they were going to say it's a limitation in the original model, then why didn't they introduce it as part of Series 2? And
I expected it to be in Series 2.
I did too. It was something that they talked about, and I figured, yep, okay, if they're saying this is a limitation, it's going to be addressed. And then it wasn't. So,
by the way, now this episode has been brought to you by Politically Incorrect Mix from Whole Foods. Politically Incorrect Mix, a delicious blend of peanuts, sesame sticks, and various forms of crackers. It's delicious, tasty, and sort of good for you as long as you don't eat too much of it. Politically Incorrect Mix.
You really like that stuff, don't you?
Man, I love that stuff. Boy, I love it. It is such a tasty blend of mostly not bad for you stuff.
Well,
high in fat.
Okay. Well, depends on what kind of fat, if that's bad or good for you.
Trans fat zero. Let's see. So this one container includes, 10 servings. This one container, according to the FDA. And those 10 servings include 1.5 grams of fat, saturated fats.
All right.
Well, so total fat's 10 grams, but trans fat's zero.
Okay.
Well, very few sugars. Yeah, it's really, really good stuff, man. It's called the Politically Incorrect Mix. You can find it with your with the Whole Foods packaged, nuts and dried fruits and wasabi, and now, chickpeas, which are also tasty and included in this.
Okay, so Amazon owns them now. why haven't you gotten a drone delivery of this stuff yet?
Yeah, that's a great question. Are you listening to that, Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
I want to be able to order this stuff from Amazon, like by the case.
All right.
Oh, so, and some bigger pants.
I'm assuming that just comes with them.
All right. So,
we have like 5 minutes left. What is it that has you all hot and bothered about iPhone 10?
Well, first, the altimeter. Let me actually explain about the altimeter. I used to live on the third floor of a townhome. Mm-hmm. And listen, I work out of my house. I work at a desk. If I'm going to climb some stairs, I want some credit for those stairs.
And you're eating Big Pants Trail Mix? Is that what it was called?
Big Pants Trail Mix, right. And and so if I'm going to go up 2 flights of stairs, I want credit for that, man. So, you know, I'd always make sure that I had my iPhone with me, even if I had my Apple Watch on, which I do wear it in the house. I know you don't, but I do. If I'm going to go down the stairs, I'm going to come up the stairs, I want my iPhone with me. But it was like annoying. Ah, I got to get my iPhone. So, like, you know, I really wanted. Yeah, I've got a
first world problem.
Yes. Such a first world problem. It's such a ridiculous, whiny problem. And so I'm like, I'm stoked now that I wouldn't have to get my iPhone. The only thing is, I moved out of the townhome recently, and I'm in a one-story home. So, you know. LOL. but I'm still, I mean, like, I know that this that's has practical value to athletes and to you know, anyone who goes on hikes and things like that. You know, you don't have to, you know, you no longer have to have your iPhone with you, or you will no longer have to have your iPhone with you to get that credit for the amount of altitude that you're climbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a very enticing thing. So I'm now in the position where I'm trying to decide, do I want to replace my Apple Watch Series 2 with Series 3 so I have an altimeter?
Duh.
I know, but the GPS has been kind of disappointing for me. So do I want to spend – what is it for the 38-millimeter non-LTE? Because I –
By the way, frozen water is frozen. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Yeah, do I want to spend the money on another Apple Watch this soon?
Yeah, think of it this way. You can't get the iPhone 10 until November. So, you know, it's a little extra time for you.
Man, you are such an enabler.
I know. I definitely want one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get one, but I do want one. I also think it looks a little better, too.
I thought it looked the same.
It's not okay. Let me look. Let me be super careful about that. Because
I mean, the LTE version has the red dot on the digital crown.
Yeah, there's that. No, look at the do you have your watch on you?
I do have my watch on me.
Do you have apple.com/watch handy? Can't wait, by the way, for Apple to take away browsers and make those only iOS only. That'd be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that.
Watch. All right.
Okay. Look at the curve from the display to the bezel.
All right. So I'm looking here. at the side view curve from the display.
And to I'm
the
looking bezel. At that. I'm looking at that first image, but even the one on the side, the transition from the display to the bezel to me seems a little smoother and a little shallower. Yeah, I need to see the physical device to be sure, but I am pretty sure that they have very subtly refined the crystal to bezel transition.
Oh, they may have. It's based on these renderings that they have. That crystal might.
It's subtle, man. It's subtle, but the shift from Apple Watch Series 0. To Series 2 was also fairly subtle.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Oh, wow, Siri fail.
Wow. Do you keep your iPhone face down?
No, I had it face up. Oh, by mistake. Yeah, it was on my own fault there. Yeah, but anyway, but I think that they have refined it yet more and that it remains subtle. I could be wrong, you know, but Look at that, man. I think it's different.
Well,
you get more. There's less reflect. It seems like there is less transition from that top of that sapphire to the bezel. And it seems like it's shallower to me.
Yeah, they have a really good side view. It's like the full width of the browser window when you click through to the learn more section. And it's where the gray bar is. Cellular, stay connected when you're away from your iPhone. And that's like straight on the side.
It is, man. It's different, dude. You don't think so?
It may very well be different, but it's very subtle.
Yeah, we will see. Well, we'll have to see. I could end up eating a little humble pie crow there. I don't know. Humble crow pie.
Humble pie crow.
Yeah. What do you think of that red dot?
I don't know. It almost seems gratuitous.
I'm not sure that I really want the world to know that I've got a GPS, a cellular enabled one. And I'm not sure that I need the reminder, but I, aesthetically speaking, I like that red dot.
All right. Yeah. The models that had the black dot, I was always like, eh, okay, there's a little black dot. Yeah. So I guess I'm just kind of indifferent to the dot.
I kind of like the dot. But kind of what I mean is I like the dot.
Okay.
I like the dot. I actually like the dot. I like the dot.
All right. So if I buy a new Apple Watch, I have to decide if I'm going to get the one with LTE or not.
Right.
Because the LTE for me is actually not that big of a deal.
No, the biggest reason for us to have it is to test it for writing and talking about it.
Yeah. And the altimeter is a bigger deal for me.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. So the brief version on the iPhone 10. I'm super interested to try Face ID. This is definitely job related. I have my doubts. We talked about this a little bit, I think, on TDO.
A little bit. Yep.
I do have my doubts as to whether or not it's as fast as it needs to be as useful as it should be.
Well, it's already by its very nature slower than Touch ID for me, because Touch ID I can activate as I'm pulling my phone out of my pocket.
Yeah, and without looking at your device. And there, I mean, that's something. That's something that you don't have to look at your device to unlock it anymore with Touch ID.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, not just from the fastness standpoint. I'm talking about like just, you know, being able to reach over and touch it. Or like if you the image that keeps popping into my head is using Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm.
And having to take the time, and it's, you know, first world problems, but it seems a little awkward to have to look at. And you know what, man, okay. There is a difference between compelling for the cops to compel you to, in other words, force you to apply your finger to your iPhone, and a cop having your iPhone and then holding it up to your face, or a thief.
A thief is more of an issue than a cop, because if the police are going to hold your iPhone up to your face to unlock it, they better have a warrant to do this.
Well, yeah.
If you're a cop and you're like, hey, we need to see what's on Brian's iPhone, and we just see, hold your phone up to your face.
That's just the thing. That's that demarcation I'm talking about between force and doing. Right? Because you have to, there is a like, you know, actually taking someone's hand and physically forcing it. It is much more of an aggressive action than to take the device and just hold it up to someone's face.
Yeah, my guess is that's not going to be as big a deal as people are making out.
Oh, right, it probably won't be that big a deal at all. This is all within the context of the ongoing societal discussion through the courts and through the legal system and through the legislative process of whether or not we have any right to privacy on our smartphones in the first place. That's an unsettled question. What I worry about is that Face ID makes that unsettling a bit too close to doesn't matter because we're just going to do it. Yeah, that's what I worry about.
I applied the same level of concern to that as I do to Touch ID and a cop taking your hand and physically putting your finger on the home button.
Okay, fair enough. But to the other point, thieves, it will be that much easier for a thief to unlock your device. And, you know, that's and again, you know, this isn't like a cut and dry issue. Anyway, we haven't even tested this stuff. These are the things that are on my mind, and I'm still super interested in this. Mm-hmm. And I'm super interested in how it works without any kind of home button. I really like the buttonless button that Apple has on the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 8.
Yeah, that solid state button thing.
Yes. The fact that the front camera on the iPhone 10 can do portrait lighting.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's super nice. Really, and who knows what's going to come out of the TrueDepth camera. That's the 3D camera that Apple has developed.
Yeah. Well, we know for starters, we're going to have a lot of really fun Animoji.
Yeah, that Animoji, man, that looks fun. I can't wait to do that. That looks super fun. Listen, if you're sitting there listening to this and you're saying, I'm not going to do no Animoji. Listen, that's fine. Don't do Animoji. There are lots of people. A lot of them are younger than me and Jeff who think that Animoji is cool as can be and can't wait to do it. It's just like stickers and other things in iMessage. It's going to further make iMessage a must communication platform for a lot of people.
Yep, I agree.
Can't wait for that. Yeah, so I'm just iPhone 10 looks great. I think it was Dave Hamilton that put it this way. The iPhone 10 is the iPhone. It's the experimental iPhone for 2 years from now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're essentially paying to beta test some new technologies for Apple.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
I just realized that it's the iPod mini of the iPhone line. Because the iPod mini, you know how it kept changing form factors? And there'd be features in it that would just kind of like show up out of the blue and then disappear. And then those features would start showing up in other devices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll be the case. So, yeah, can't wait to get my hands on that. I'm definitely 100% getting the iPhone 10 when I replace. I'm on the AT&T NextPlane plan, so I can get a new device with every generation. And I will be waiting for the iPhone 10 to ship. I don't care how long it takes because the iPhone 7 is still a great phone anyway. Mm-hmm. And if I can manage to do it, I'm going to get an Apple Watch Series 3.
Yeah, we have this problem, which is that our job acts as an enabler for us, because normal people, they can look at a lot of products like this and say, I'll wait for the next one. But for us, we want the next one and we kind of need the next one because we need to be able to talk about it so other people know if it's the right thing for them.
Yeah, exactly. It's what we do.
Boy, we have expensive jobs.
We do have expensive jobs. Yeah.
You know,
send help.
Yeah. And money. Yeah, you have another show you need to go record.
Yeah, we got to go. Yeah, I'm doing Pop.0 today with John Keat video show. I got to go. Like, you know, I don't have to shower when I do the show with you. I can shower like at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go shower. So, you know, time for Pop.0. TMI, folks? I'm sorry.
No, I get it. I see where I rate. Okay, I've
got it. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, then I guess you better go take a shower.
Yep.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO without lyrics. And that's all for this week.
Oh, there are lyrics. Stay subscribed, everyone.
No lyrics. Song. See you online at the Mac Observer. Don't sing lyrics. No lyrics to the song, man. No, because there's no lyrics.
I'm going to sing them.
No.